blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 232, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1 and 2 of Psalter 232.
Scripture reading for this afternoon is from the Gospel according to John, thereof chapter 6, beginning at verse 25 to the end. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 6, verse 25. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest Thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. They said therefore unto Him, What sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to Me, except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto Me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing, God of heaven and of earth, we present ourselves once again in this afternoon hour before thy countenance in thy holy house of prayer, where thou dost promise, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou may give it in truth to two or three. Oh, could it be to each and every one of us, to be gathered here in thy name with a longing, with a desire, with a sigh, with a cry, and with a petition unto thee, for the need of our bodies, for the need of our souls. Oh, we have heard it in these moments. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And thou knowest our hearts. Oh, we are ever seekers after the meat that perisheth. All that is in this world, the glory of the world, the entertainment of the world, the pleasures of the world, the sins of the world. And they live in our heart, and the desires go forth, and with our hands and with our feet, we would drink them up, except we be constrained, and by thy holy word and by thy commandments. O Lord, then we, above so many, are brought by thy providence into thy house of prayer. And so we do come to seek other things. But Lord, thou knowest when we come into thy house in the way of our religion, and that we are no better than all that seek the meat that perisheth. For we seek still the meat that perisheth within thy house of prayer. All that is carnal, and instead of all that is spiritual. Oh, then we would argue with thee, even as the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jewish people. And when thou didst speak of spiritual things, then there was no understanding. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all of our hearts. We need to be born again. No man can come unto thee, except the Father which hath sent thee draw him. O Lord, thou knowest it is so with each and every one of us. And when we have an outward religion, O thou knowest especially those who do experience this in their very souls, that do say, O Lord, could I but come to thee, but I do not have hands to take it. I have not feet to come. I do not know the way. I do not know how to put one foot before the other to come unto thee. O Lord, thou dost say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. O give then a cry unto that people, who in this afternoon hour do desire to draw nigh. Oh, that see the blessed portion that is to be had in that Son of God. Oh, that they might desire above all the meat that perisheth to eat and to drink of that life eternal. Oh, Lord, that in this hour their hearts may be going out. Oh, when thy word was read, that their heart was burning along, oh, that they also might taste a little of that portion. Oh, thou dost say, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he hath sent. Oh, Lord, thou knowest what they say in their hearts. Lord, I would believe in thee. I desire to believe in thee. But I feel my guilt. I feel my wretchedness. Oh, I feel all my sorrows. Oh, I do not experience that gladness and that peace. And I know then I do not believe in thee. Oh, give me then so to believe, Lord. Oh, draw me, and then we will run after thee. Oh, hear, Lord, the cry of the needy, the cry of the poor, the cry of the helpless, the cry of the guilty, a poor sinner that thou makest before God. And if we have never become so, Lord, make us so. We cannot make ourselves so. We are rich and increased with goods. We have need of nothing by nature. And with all our religion, we take the place of all that is outwardly wicked. But it is no better, for our heart is no better. Oh, it is so deceitful above all things. It is so desperately wicked. Lord, we need to be led by thee. We need to be instructed. We need to be taught by thee. We need to be drawn by thee. We need to be disciplined also by thee, that we would walk not in that broad way, but that we might enter through that straight gate and walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal. We have no desire for it by nature. And after received grace, our hearts, oh, they can still be so drawn after all that is perishing here below. We beseech thee, Lord, take reasons out of thyself to give thy people a new hunger and a new thirst again. Oh, that those that look back unto that former life, that first love, where they say that the Lord does admonish me for leaving, but I do not know how to come back again. Oh, Lord, they could not give it unto themselves the first time. They cannot give it unto themselves the second And the third time, it is all having to come from Thee, who art the Alpha, but also the Omega, who art the beginning, but also the ending. Oh, give that this portion also may be the desire of each and every one, both young and old. If it has never been the desire of our heart, Lord, oh, Thou can make it in one moment all of our desires, that they might go after Thee in spirit and in truth, that also in the days of childhood we might see the vanity of everything that is perishing here below, and that that blessed portion of God's true people may be the portion that we desire as strongly as Ruth of old, who did say, Thy people, my people, and Thy God, my God, oh, entreat me not to leave Thee, nor to return from following after Thee. Oh, Lord, give them to come so in Thy house of prayer. Give them to come so in the inner chamber, looking and seeking, looking at Thy holy word, reading and searching the books that are based thereupon. Oh, give, and that there may be a discernment also amongst us of those things that are true and the things that are hypocrisy. O Lord, that that true work of Thee within the soul may be experienced and spoken of in the midst of us as a flock, that our children and grandchildren also may be given to hear and to know it, or that they might know that what they may examine themselves by, and that we may not be left to deceive ourselves for that great and never-ending eternity. Look upon our parents as they instruct their own children, or they are the seed of the congregation, and the future of the church, and the great responsibility Thou hast laid upon them, and to teach them the tender fear of Thy most holy name. Lord, it is so impossible from the side of man. There is so much that the devil brings against it, and Satan and sin and flesh, and it all lives within our hearts also. Lord, give us faithfulness, give us diligence, give us wisdom, give us the tender fear of Thy most holy name, that we may not only speak unto them, but that may we may walk before them in truth, and that Thou may give Thy blessing. Remember all, each and every one, whatever age that we are, it is actually all the same, because we know not the day of our death. But Lord, Thou knowest that there are those that do approach unto the grave closer and closer. Oh, do give unto them in a special way Thy Spirit from above, because Lord, then they feel it so often, that that heart grows harder and it grows colder. Oh, Lord, then they need more than ever that power that comes from above, that is able to break a hard and a stony heart, and to melt a cold and ice-cold heart, and to make it warm, oh, to make the tears of the soul weep before that true and the living God, before whom and they must soon stand in judgment. O Lord, that they may be given also by Thy Spirit to see the blessedness of Him whom Thou hast sent into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Remember the child that must receive surgery in the week to come. Lord, Thou knowest the fears that may live in her young heart. Wilt Thou be on the right and on the left of her, the physicians, the caregivers, and that Thou may bless the means for the recovery of her body. Oh, give her also a tender cry to Thee, that Thou might heal her soul, and that Thou may visit her also under this way wherein that Thou dost lead her. Look upon all that are persecuted for the sake of Thy holy name. Also children we hear of in the world. Oh, Lord, they are kidnapped, they are taken away. O Lord, Thou knowest all, each and every one that cries. O Lord, remember the needy when they cry, and do save their souls when death draws nigh. And wilt Thou put away this great evil from this wicked world wherein that we do dwell. Remember those that do are on the mission fields, also those that prepare, that they may go there. Wilt thou be on their right and on their left in all the way that thou leadest them also. Look upon us as a consistory. Thou knowest that in this coming week, then we hope to have elections. Lord, we beseech thee, who dost set up one and put down another, that thou may be in the midst of us, that thou may provide for us as a congregation. For thou knowest all our needs also as office bearers. And when we do go from home to home, when we stand before our youth and our children to give instruction, when we make decisions which we are unable of ourselves to do, O Lord, then we need that calling from above. We need to be given that place from thee thyself, that thou mayest be on the right and on the left, then when we go into this meeting, and that thou mayest grant us to feel something of thy favor, and that thou mayest bless us undeservedly. Look upon thou us in this hour, Lord. Thou knowest all of our needs to bring to hear thy word. There is so much that the devil would bring in between to stand in the way. O Lord, wilt thou put him out of the way? That thou may give a little distance, and wilt thou come and take away the distance between thee and our souls? That we may be given to feel that thou art near, that thou art amongst us, and that thou workest, and that thou dost glorify and magnify thy dear and holy and worthy name, forgiving all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 137, stanzas 1 through 4 and 6. The mighty God, Jehovah, speaks and calls the earth from sea to sea. From beauteous Zion, God shines forth. He comes and will not silent be. Devouring flame before him goes, and dark the tempest around him grows. 1 through 4 and 6 of Psalter 137. Thank you. Beloved congregation, David prayed unto the Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Why did he pray this? Well, in the first place, David felt that he could not save himself. Do you feel that too? David felt the power of his enemies on every side. Do you have an enemy of sin? Do you feel the power of that enemy? Are you not able to deliver yourself from sin? In the second place, David desired to hear this out of the mouth of the Lord himself. And what does the true church desire more than to hear it from the Lord, that he is reconciled unto them? That is the purpose of that holy supper of the Lord, and that has been instituted by him. But the question is, just how does the Lord communicate this unto his people? That is the subject that our fathers address in the present Lord's Day. That is Lord's Day 29, which speaks about the Lord's Supper's sacramental language. First, the error of transubstantiation. That is in question and answer 78. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God, so the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. That is the error of transubstantiation. Second, the meaning of the sacramental language. Question and answer 79. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood? Or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouths of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own persons suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. The meaning of the sacramental language. Thus the Lord's Supper's sacramental language. First, the error of transubstantiation. And second, the meaning of the sacramental language. Thus, congregation, this Lord's Day, and our fathers discuss the language of the sacrament of the Holy Supper. Very often we look over this, but language, congregation, is a very, very important thing. By language, we communicate to one another. Thus, by language, we can can make the thoughts that are in our mind also to be the thoughts at the same time in one another's mind. So Babel was an example of the great importance of language, that society is not able to continue without such communications. We, of course, communicate with words, but we communicate with more than words. We also communicate with our actions. We say maybe that there is a certain language of our body. We can read in God's word of Jacob that the countenance of Laban was not toward him as before. So Laban did not need to say anything. But Jacob felt, he perceived what was going on in the heart and in the mind of Laban. God also communicates with men, so that we do not only communicate with one another, but God communicates with men. That is a great wonder that testifies of the height of the creation of man, and that man is able even to receive the communications of God. And God, of course, requires us to pray to him. Do you do that, young people? And that the Lord says that we must tell him. We must tell him, oh, we may tell him everything. May you sometimes tell him everything? That is living in your heart. Maybe you can tell him what you cannot tell your father and mother sometimes. And that is language that the Lord hears. The psalmist says, verily, that is truly, the Lord hath heard the voice of my supplications. He has heard my cry. And we can read about Jonah. He says, from the belly of hell cried I, that is in the lowest place, and he had brought himself by his own disobedience and rebellion into that place. And then you say, maybe I cannot pray because you feel guilt. Yeah. But Jonah, he says, from the belly of hell, the belly of the grave, that is from the bottom of the sea, in his guilt, but also in his need. Then he cried to God. And then he says, the Lord has heard his cry from that deep place. Thus the Lord hears those communications. But he does not only hear those communications, he also sees. And we may communicate to him not only by our words, but by our deeds. Because when we pray to him in the morning, and then, yeah, all day long, we can live without him, with not a thought. Yes, indeed, maybe also against his commandments. The Lord sees that too. Then the Lord says, well, then that cry, that is nothing more than hypocrisy. Then they do not mean it, and they are not looking for that blessing and that they are asking of me. Thus the Lord will have his people to cry to him. But the Lord also communicates to his people, to men, and that is congregation, another wonder. The Lord then tells men what is in his heart. He tells him his good pleasure. The Lord discloses unto men his own will. Ah, you say, how does the Lord do that? Ah, we read David. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. That is language. Day unto day. Night unto night showeth knowledge. He says, there is no speech, there is no language where this voice is not heard. That is the voice of nature. And that voice is speaking unto us, that is the voice of God. The Lord says it is heard by everyone. Doesn't matter what language they speak, or English or Dutch or French or Spanish or whatever that is. That language of nature is one to all men in the world. And then that glory of God is calling men, every one of them, that they may return back unto Him. So how does that call me? I do not hear that. That is not with words. No, as with things. Things in nature. And then our mind is required to think, to reason, and to say everything has been created by Him. Oh, then we owe something to Him. Thus He speaks to us. He uses a certain language. Then there is another language that is of nature, but that is inside of us. That is our conscience. Does that sometimes speak? What is that conscience saying? That conscience says what the law of God is. It says what God says is right and what God says is wrong. And we must follow what God says, otherwise we feel guilt. Thus the Lord speaks. And He is speaking by a certain kind of knowledge. But do we understand it? A language, a certain kind of language. Do we understand that language that the Lord is speaking in? Because after the fall, we have become congregation hard of hearing. Because then we have become like that Elimus the sorcerer. And he was trying to turn away the deputy from the faith. And that is now the will and the desires that are living in our heart. And when we hear that voice of God, all then our evil and our corrupt will and our nature is trying to turn us away, that we are not listening to that voice of God. Then we are like Balaam. And his ass, well, kept turning out of the way. Balaam did not understand what that animal was saying to him. And then the Lord had to give that animal, that beast, a mouth, to speak unto him in a language that he would understand plainly, and to tell him something that he did not want to hear. Thus the Lord, He also speaks with words. He has given to us His word. That is not just then that we have to think about and reason about. No, that is very plain. Whether we like that word or whether we do not like that word, for good or for bad, that is now the means that the Lord is using to communicate, that we might know what His will is, what His good pleasure is, and what our duty is before Him. And thus those words, the Lord speaks through those words, how in the Old Testament, very often that was by visions or by dreams. We know Jacob, he was in Bethel, and then there was a ladder. The Lord showed him that there was a way between God and him. And later on, we know that the Lord appeared to him, as He sometimes did, in the way of a man or an angel. That was 20 years later. And then He spoke to him through that man. We read later on of a certain Urim and Thummim. We don't know what that was exactly, but in a certain manner, the Lord made known his will unto his own people. We live in a different dispensation where we may have his word, and that word plainly reveals to us what his will is, that is written in verbal, plain, written language. But do we understand that language? The language of his word. So Peter said in the epistle of Paul, there are things that are hard to understand, that unlearned and unstable men wrest to their own destruction. That is true. There are things hard to understand in some of the epistles of Paul. The congregation, most of the things in the Bible and in the epistle of Paul are not hard to understand. Most of the things and all of the things that are necessary for the salvation of our soul that are written in the Word of God are very, very easy to understand. What is it that is written from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible? Well, the Lord condemns our sin. Is that easy to understand? The Lord preaches, he declares in his word, repentance unto salvation. Is that easy to understand? Say, with our mind we can understand it. But what about our will? What about our desire? Do we desire to hear? Do we desire to understand? Because even though it was so plain, the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, he says, why do ye not understand my speech? I speak unto you plainly, but you do not understand me. Why don't you understand me? He says, even because ye will not hear my words. He says, you don't want to go the way that I say. You do not want to understand. You do not want to turn. You do not want to repent. You do not want to believe in me. Question 78 deals with an error. That is an error in the understanding of the word. That word that God has given unto us, that is so very, very plain. And this error is an error of the Roman Catholic Church. It is a wresting of the Holy Scriptures. That is the Roman Catholic error of transubstantiation, wherein they say that in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and that the bread and the wine are actually becoming the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do they say that? They say, well, because in the Bible, the Lord says himself, very plainly they say, this is my body which is broken for you, and this is my blood of the New Testament. And then they say, see, that is plainly now what the Lord Jesus says. And if he says, this is my body, then this must be my body. And then you know what they teach, children. When the priest will say, this is my body, then it ends with D-Y, right? D, body. And as soon as the priest pronounces D, ba-di, the very last syllable, then the bread becomes body and the wine becomes blood. So that we actually eat the body of Christ and we actually drink the blood of Christ. Still, it looks like bread, and it feels like bread, and it tastes like bread, but they say, no, that is not bread. It's still the same form of bread, but the substance is now actually body. And then Luther, the Lutherans, they did not quite agree. They said, no, we don't believe that it actually changes in substance. But we still believe that the real presence, that the human nature of Christ is really present. So that human nature is actually in, with, and under the elements which remain bread and wine. Thus, they are what we call ubiquitarians. What is that? So ubiquitous means that it's everywhere, everywhere present. So they believe that not only the divine nature of Christ is everywhere, but also that the human nature of Christ has become ubiquitous. After his coming in this world, it is now existing everywhere in this world. It is omnipresent. And now, congregation, the method of the Lord's Supper, what is that? What is the Lord doing in the Lord's Supper? He is appealing to our senses, right? Because he gives us, not like today, then there is nothing here to appeal to our senses. It is only words that I speak to you. But in the sacraments, he gives us something that is physical, that can be seen, that can be felt, that can be tasted. So he is appealing to our senses. And when he appeals to our senses, then he is saying that that now is like to something else, right? But what is now this transubstantiation, consubstantiation doing? Well, it is saying that what you see and what you feel and what you taste is not to be trusted. Your senses deceive you. It tastes like bread. It tastes like wine, but it is not bread. It is not wine. Thus, in the very sacrament wherein the Lord is using the senses of men in order to strengthen the things that are invisible, then the Roman Catholic Church is saying our senses are not to be trusted. To interpret this literally would also destroy the very essence of the sacrament. It destroys the sacramental character of the Lord's Supper. Do you remember, children, what is necessary in a sacrament? In a sacrament, it is necessary to have a sign. And that sign necessarily has to point to something else. It means something that it is not. It has a spiritual meaning. And so if now that bread is changed, that bread which is the sign of his broken body, but if that bread is now changed into that broken body, there is no sign left. There is no sign left. And if there is no sign left in that sacrament, then it is actually no sacrament at all. This representation, this bread, this wine, that is meant to be present, that it may point and remind, do this in remembrance of someone who is absent. That is the very point of it. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he says, I go away. Say, how did he go away? If his human nature is now omnipresent, just like his divine nature, well, then he has not gone away. In what sense, then, has he gone away? No. He has gone away in his human nature. He is ever present with them in his divine nature. The Lord says, God himself says, do I not fill heaven and earth? When God says, do I not fill heaven and earth? He says, I am God. You do not fill heaven and earth because you are men. Thus he makes a distinction between God and men when he says, I fill heaven and earth. I am omnipresent. But the human nature of Christ is the same as ours. Thus, his human nature it is not possible that that human nature be omnipresent. The scriptures are full of metaphorical language. What is that? Metaphor, a metaphor. Our children, young people know that, I think. A simile, that is a comparison of things, but it uses the words like or as. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like wool. That is a simile, comparing to unlike things, using the word like or as. What is a metaphor? Very similar, but the word like or as is missing. So that brings it even closer, doesn't it? It's not just a comparison, but it's naming the thing by something else. That is so, the scriptures are full of this. Thus the Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. All metaphors that must be received by us in a figurative way. And so he has also said, this is my body. And we heard from God's word that the Lord Jesus, he says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Can we interpret that literally? That congregation will be sinful. We do not eat one another. The flesh of one another. And if something is sinful, and then it can And that is something we must do now. The Lord Jesus says, well, then it must be in a figurative way to be understood. Did the Lord Jesus, when he instituted that supper, did he break his own body? Did he eat his own body? You say, that is impossible. That is right. And congregation, when it is impossible and our mind says that, well, then our mind is not deceiving us. There is nothing in the truth that is unreasonable. The truth goes above our reason, but when it contradicts everything and that reason tells us, and we are told we just must believe it, we must take it on faith. No, then be careful. When the Lord Jesus says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, then we read here that many of his followers murmured at him. They said, this is an hard saying. who can hear it? And then the Lord Jesus says, does this offend you? What an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where that he was before. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What did he do? He rebuked them. He rebuked them for taking his words, the metaphorical language, and making that metaphorical language to say something that he was not saying when it was obvious, and it ought to have been obvious to them. And making things that were spiritual into things which are carnal, which the carnal man is so wont to do. Why? Because we do not understand the spiritual language of that Holy Scripture, but more than that, because we do not desire it. We do not desire it. But now the Lord Jesus said to the 12, because they were other of his disciples, but they were not the 12. And the Lord Jesus said to the 12, will ye also go away? And what was their answer? Peter says, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. That was their food. That was their drink. Let us sing. 159, 1 and 2. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. And when I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1 and 2 of Psalter 159. the Lord's Supper's sacramental language. First, the error of transubstantiation. Second, the meaning of the sacramental language. Maybe that you say, if the words of the Lord Jesus were so misunderstood at the time that he spoke them, and not only at the time he spoke them, but also after that he ascended into heaven, and he, of course, knew all that was coming. Why did the Lord Jesus not use different words so that those words could be more plainly understood? If this would rock the church for so many years, why did the Lord Jesus not just say in the Lord's Supper, "This represents my body," or "This is like my body"? That is, of course, the question that comes into our natural minds, and our Father's next address this question. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body, and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Christ speaks thus not without great reason. He says that is not just an insignificant matter that he names it by these things. Our fathers say it is called the body of Christ Jesus agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments. Thus, the signs are purposely called and named by the things they signify. That is, not without great reason. What is that reason? Namely, not only thereby, so now we know there are two things. First thing, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life. So the first is to teach us. That is the first reason that the Lord Jesus is using this sacramental language, to teach us. And who is us? Do you often use that word? Us. Do you include yourself? Congregation, let us be careful. Oh, that it might be each and every one of us, that we may have such a desire to be counted also among this us. But that us now is that true church of God. And the true church of God is a church who needs, it says, to be taught. And what do they need to be taught? That is, what is the true meat and drink whereby their souls are fed unto eternal life. That is what they need to be taught. That is what they need to learn. And they don't learn that so fast. No, they need to be taught this over and over again. And why over and over again? Because they're always going back. They're always regressing, as we spoke about last week, that they are trying to feed on meat and drink that is not able to sustain their life. But then Naomi, I say to Ruth, she says, "It is good, my daughter, that they find thee in no other field." And no other field but Boaz's field. But now that true church, what are they often doing? Oh, they know what it is to feed in that field of Boaz. But so often they are going yonder into other fields. Oh, they are regressing back again. to feed and to find meat and drink in the field of Adam, in the field of a broken covenant. His crucified and shed blood is the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life. That is the surety ship by which a debtor is living. There is no other. Without that payment, his crucified body and shed blood, what is there? What is there? What do you feel? Say, I feel wrath. I feel anger. I feel displeasure. I feel a conscience that is burning. Yes. Why? Because we are missing something. We are missing this surety ship. Thus, this is the only spiritual meat and drink. Did you ever eat? Did you ever drink of this spiritual meat? And if you did, do you still drink of it? Do you still drink of it each and every day? You need meat and drink for your body, do you not? You get up in the morning and you will eat and you will drink that your body may be sustained. Oh, do you need meat and drink for your soul? And do you need that every single day again? This is what the Lord is saying. That is now the true meat and drink. It is something that does not just need to be received once, no. But it is something that needs to be received every day again because of the continuing existence of sin that is living in the heart of his church. And thus the language of the sacrament. This is my body. This is my blood that is teaching his people. How is it teaching them? It is teaching them by equating is or equals. It teaches them by equating that spiritual food and that natural food. He does not just say it is like it. No. He says it is it. It is it in reality. The invisible as well and as truly as the visible is. Ah, that is now the teaching that people stand in need of, not only one time, but to be taught and to be instructed in it time and time again. Why? Because of their carnality, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost as we receive by our mouths, by the mouths of our bodies, these holy signs in remembrance of him. Thus, this is also the language of assurance, that is, to assure us. And what do you want to be assured of? Not only that his crucified body and shed blood is the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, not only that, but especially, he says, that we are really partakers of it. Ah, that is now what we heard last week. But now this week, our fathers say that this sacramental language is used purposefully by the Lord that he may gain this end, this purpose. When the Lord calls the bread and wine, his body and his blood, and he gives them to his church, and they eat the same with their mouth that is to have the effect of assurance, that is to aid their carnal constitutions. We heard of the analogy. The Lord is helping them in the analogy by calling the thing that is signified by calling the sign by the name of the thing that is signified. Thus, he helps us in it. Also, the soul receives spiritual food. What is that? Assurance, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own person suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. What does that mean? That means that that sacrifice is imputed to me. That is what we need. That sacrifice is that the merits of Christ are written, not only happened, but they are written also on my account. What do you need to know, congregation, more than this? Thus, those elements are not only signs, but those elements are seals. And now this sacramental language is given as an instrument that sacrament may seal unto his church. Of course, that does not take place in a vacuum. No, that all takes place in the way of self-examination. It has a context, but that is what our fathers speak now in the next Lord's Day that we hope to consider next week. But these expressions of assurance can only be effectual in an honest heart. In an honest heart. We would say in a simple heart. A simple heart. That is not complex. That is not hypocritical. That is not putting on a face. But he is just simple. He is just appearing as he is before God. And before the whole congregation, bread and wine. Oh, how are they received? They are received by people who have an appetite. And they nourish a people that have an appetite. Oh, so also this, the Lord says, that is received, this forgiveness that is received by a people who have an appetite. That do hunger and who do thirst after righteousness. Oh, and it is received by no one else. For the death of Christ, why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Paul says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Thus, bread and wine are signs of the communion, spiritual communion with the body of Christ. And that is more than only participation. Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, writes that Paul uses this word, this special word, communion, and not other words, to direct the attention to that union which is of the most intimate nature. The most intimate nature. That is what the sacramental language is meant to convey, to portray. It is the union that is very, very intimate. That is why it is not like or as, but it is. Not without great reason. Congregation, when the Holy Supper of the Lord is rightly celebrated, when it is rightly celebrated by the true church of God, when it is done in the right way, when it is done in the way of self-examination, then that Holy Supper is of great value. That Holy Supper is of great comfort for His church, because the Lord is speaking in it. And He is speaking through a language which is sacramental. And that sacramental language is no uncertain language. But it is very, very sure. This is my body, which is broken for you. To whom? To those truly sorrowing and repenting sinners who cry to Him. Oh, it is heard and it is received by them. And when this is now taking place, then they do experience something. They experience something of the presence. No, not of the presence of the human nature, but the spiritual presence of His Godhead, of His majesty, of His grace, of His Spirit, that is of Christ Himself. What does the bride say? She says, "I am black, but comely." She speaks about His voice, the voice of my beloved. She hears His voice. Do you ever hear His voice? He speaks. He uses a language. The voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Oh, behold, my beloved spake, and He said unto me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Oh, had He brought me then to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Oh, He speaks. He speaks peace unto His people, but let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a few words of that blessed supper that Thou hast instituted with great intent to deliver and Thy people from all their fears and all their tribulations, and to say unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" O grant that each one of us may desire with all our heart to be counted among that blessed number. O give us to seek it even when we have no desire for it. Oh, that we may put away all the things that distract, especially on Thy holy day. Oh, that we may be given to take up Thy word of truth, the sermons and that are preached about it, to listen to them, to read them. Oh, to pray to Thee. Oh, Lord, come unto me. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Oh, make me not the reproach of the foolish. Look upon us all in this week. Bring us safely home. Give us to keep Thy day holy. Help us in our labors, in Thy church, in our homes, and in our businesses. And keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Be with her that is to receive surgery. Remember us in our meeting. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 203, all five stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own to keep me near Thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.